live from the studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
And once again, it's a Monday afternoon. It is hot, and we are so confused. My name is Cliff. Say hi, Robin.
Okay, hi, Robin. or something.
Or something. Anyway. And our computers don't like it, so.
It's warm enough. If you hear any extraneous noise in the background, it's everybody's air conditioners are running until power goes out.
Until the power goes out. My air conditioning is my friend.
What? What's that?
I said my air conditioning is my friend. It's getting hot. It was where I had to drive yesterday. It was 107 degrees outside.
Were you driving in that? That's kind of. Was it that warm at night? When we were there, it's 107.
Well, it was in the afternoon. I started early yesterday. And then they found out that I started early yesterday, and they said, hey, you got time to do another load. I don't want to. I had to do it anyways. Okay.
I'll get rich that way.
I'm not getting rich. In fact, speaking of getting rich, thank you for bringing that up. A couple of the topics we're going to talk about today is if you can hear us live today, then obviously you survived the DNS changer malware. And talk a little bit about that. Eric Holder is back in the news again. Obama poll. And how much is Obamacare really going to cost you? We got a little bit of information on that, and all I can say is, oh, my God. But first, I'd like to do is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio. It's sponsored by Dancing Dog Cookies.
Good dog, Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with Dancing Dog Cookies because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them, and I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
Yeah, check them out. They look really good, and Kathy and Tom and Kathy made some by hand individually. And Cliff likes them too.
I like them too. Yes. We've got to convince them to make dancing kitty cookies too.
Dancing kitty cookies?
They're discriminating. This is terrible. They're discriminating against an entire race.
It's species discrimination.
Yes. Yes. Well, species, race, whatever.
Species.
That is. Well, pussycats have to have cookies. I mean, they get hungry. So
that's true.
We've got to do something about them.
Yeah, kitty cookies. There you go.
Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds better than dog cookies, kitty cookies. Much better.
Yeah. Well, I sure hope things are going to work today. Even on my on the Blog Talk Radio studio, where we usually have these big red countdown numbers. They're little tiny things now, so I hope that they did. I put down Blog Talk Radio quite a bit, and a lot of times it's because they don't follow the rule that if it works, leave it alone.
Yeah, well, that's the internet doesn't follow those rules. I think they keep changing things constantly, all the time, and. That's just one of the things that happens. So they just do that. Every time you think about it, they're changing rules on, well, almost everything. I've got a couple of websites on the air that I've had on for years and years, and I change them every so often, but I don't change them near as often as I should update them to at least for content to give people new material.
Well, and speaking of new material, like I said earlier in the program, that if you are listening to us today, apparently you survived the the DNS changer malware, which the FBI is warning that they're going to shut down the DNS servers. DNS, by the way, is the domain name system, our service. And as I'm trying to go through and...
Does that mean that if I wanted to, once they shut that down, that I could still get online if I used the numbers version of that? In other words, they changed the name of the thing into a set of numbers, and all websites are set up with numbers. And I can get the numbers for some of the websites. I have them, but could I then get through then without that set up if I put in the numbers instead of the DNS, instead of the name?
I would think so, because the only thing the DNS does, like, for example, our address, trbnradio.com, when you enter that in, it goes to a DNS server and then changes it to an IP address. And,
yeah.
And apparently the FBI, what was it? I'm trying to – I missed my third monitor.
You and your monitors, I swear to God.
Well, I got so much stuff open in here, you know, and I got all these notes, and then got the control panel and all the fun stuff. But of course, you think you have your notes all laid out, and of course it didn't work. But apparently on November 8th, the FBI and the NASA OIG unit, whatever that is, and the Estonian police arrested several cyber criminals in Operation Ghost Click. I love the name they come up with this. Or OGC. They've been watching too much television. Criminals operating under the name Rove Digital. We're living in a reality show. Anyways, they distributed DNS-changing viruses known as TDSS, Arlon, and a couple others. And the FBI interceded, and they took over and cleaned up some of the servers up until today, when they were going to shut down those temporary servers. And if you didn't go to the website, dcwg.org, and check to make sure that your DNS server and your computer, or the access to it, was clean, you wouldn't be hearing us today.
And I understand that they did actually shut down some of the servers somewhere in the country. I heard on the television this morning, but it wasn't a big number of them, like everybody was worried about. So it worked. So I guess they have to come up with more numbers or something. I mean, why don't we just do this thing, whole thing with numbers, and we don't have to do any of that. We can go directly to there.
Well, you can. You can go to your address bar and you can enter an IP address and skip the DNS, but that doesn't work for most people.
What do you mean it doesn't work?
Well, in other words, let me look up.
It's saying it's more convenient people to can't remember
right.
The name with a number where they can. But the thing is, if it was important enough to them, if they really wanted to, they'd remember the name. Regardless of what you say, there'd be a reason to remember the name. And it probably, at this particular point, it would probably, weed out some of the websites. And I, you know, what I would like to figure out how to do and figure out some way, we need to pay somebody, I don't care if it costs me, I mean, it could be 2 cents, 3 cents, 5 cents a month or a year or something like that. It doesn't have to be much because there's so many people using the Internet. But to get rid of old websites, you've got websites on there that you go to that you look at and you think are new, and they're not. They're 10 years old and don't have pertinent information anymore. And they're taking up room. They're taking up space and taking up numbers. Mostly more than that. And we need to have some company that goes along and clears that thing out. It doesn't seem.
Well, they are switching from, we're currently on version 4, and they are switching over to version 6, which allows more numbers, because we're running out of addresses.
Yeah. But the thing is, they don't get rid of old ones. That we wouldn't be running out near as fast as if they'd get rid of old ones. They don't ever get rid of them. Once it's up there, it's there forever, just about.
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah. You know, what happens to the old addresses? But
I've got a website up there that I have tried to get rid of, that I can't get rid of, and it's screwed up. It doesn't have appropriate things on there, and part of it's there and part of it's not there. But it doesn't go away. I don't know why. It just doesn't go away. I can't remember the name of it now, but I have it on my thing. I don't have I don't keep all that stuff up like you do, all at the same time.
Well, I try to stay on top of it. You know, it kind of goes along with that little piece of paper that I have,
yeah.
Known as an associate's science degree in computing. But I'll give you an example here. Our show page, which is krbnradio.com, if you wanted to enter it by the direct IP address, would be 72.29.75.135. So it wouldn't sound very good, like, be sure to check us out on the internet at 72.29.75.1335. Yeah,
but it would sound okay.
What's that?
I say it would sound okay if everybody was doing it, because then it would just be normal.
Well, and then if you want to take it a step further, we'll just go start calling everybody by numbers instead of names. Maybe go by the first three digits of your social as a nickname.
Well, they could do that too. I don't care about that. But, I mean, it just makes, you know, it's to the point now you have to have a big, long name to get on the Internet now. I mean, there's some everybody's name is taken up. Everybody's name is, you can't hardly even figure out a name. I was trying to come up with a name for a website a while ago. And you look it up and everything is taken. Everything. You think of a word and put it in there, and it's taken. You've got to put 10 words in there, and I want to get a name on the air. And you used to be able to. In fact, I can remember way back, believe it or not, because I had been on the internet for a long time. I can remember back when I could put in a three-letter word and use it as a name. But they've long since gotten rid of those.
That's why I have my own domain name, even though I don't use it, but I'm sitting on it. And then maybe some famous person will want to buy it for big bucks from me.
Yeah. Well, I've had a couple of them that people have wanted to buy for some pretty good money. But the ones that I want to keep, I've got cliff.org and I've got cliffwilson.com. And those are the two that I really, really want to keep.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of numbers, you want to share some other important numbers?
Okay. 646-721-9887. Now that, see, there you go. There's numbers. People remember all those numbers, but that's the telephone number to call if you want to get a hold of us. And please do. Whatever you want to speak about and talk about, we'll work on figuring out how to talk about it and come up with it. Because we have an opinion on everything, absolutely everything. Now, whether we want to give that opinion or not, or anybody wants to hear that opinion, that's another story entirely. But the number to call is 646-721-9887. And by the way, we know this works because I'm calling in on that number as we speak, because that's how I'm there and getting on the air. It's 646-721-9887 is the telephone number to call. You can do that and get on the air with us and enjoy your 5 minutes of fame or 10 minutes or 15 minutes of fame.
And Cliff just gave out the secret of how we've been having our audio quality a little bit better too.
Yeah.
If anybody.
Things have changed radically and we're trying all kinds of things. It works and it's okay, but I don't like it.
I'm not too thrilled about it versus the old way, but 646-721-9887. And so like I say, if you are listening to us on the air right now, that means that you survived the malware. And if not, well, I could read you how to fix it, but if you can't get on the internet, you're not going to be able to. It's not going to do you any good, anyways. So.
Well, I speaking of that, as long as we're talking about, you know, way computers and things, Windows 8 PC tablets are about to come out. The Windows, they've come out the the new Windows operating system, Windows 8, is about to be released and manufactured, and they're putting it out on a new tablet. They're going to sell. Windows is got to get into the everything they can think of to make money. Of course, they will try it, and I don't blame them. Let's face it, that's what they're in the business for. But they're going to be using a thing called Windows 8 now. Windows 7 is bye-bye, and Windows 8 is available in 105 languages and more than 200 markets. So just in case you're desperately trying to figure out a way to communicate with people, you've got a new one now, Windows 8, and a new tablet. I haven't heard much about the tablet. It doesn't say much about the tablet. They're just they're talking about Windows 8. But if you have Windows XP, Windows 7, or Windows Vista, you'll be able to purchase the downloaded version of Windows 8 for only $39.99. Oh, really? Huh. I wonder if it's any good.
Yeah, I think what Windows 8 is doing, I could be totally wrong here. We're in an app world. And
yeah.
I think that's what they're doing is that the reviews that I've read so far is that if you're used to the previous version of Windows, good luck, is that everything's going to be an application.
Well, you got to be able
which
to
in
use
a way,
the old version.
Because you're modulizing everything. And which wouldn't be that bad if you can. Okay, here's what I would like in an operating system. I want it to come with nothing but the operating system. No garbage, no advertising, no 200 games I got to go through and delete to free up space. Let me customize it the way I want to customize it.
Funny girl. Just funny girl. Yes.
Yeah. If you install an operating system yourself, that's the way you start out.
Yeah,
it
sort of.
The operating system that I can go ahead.
You can't really install anything yourself now. You just put in a disk and it does it by itself.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, like for my previous operating systems that I have, you know, I've installed from a disk, you know, like XP, for example, and it does, when you do it that way, it doesn't have anything else on it. You know, when you buy it from the store preloaded with an operating system, like my Vista machine here, it's got a whole bunch of games and whatever and stuff that takes up, you know, space and stuff that comes up for a while and says, hey, you could try this for 3 times and then go pay $200 for it.
But that's the manufacturer that does that. That isn't Windows. That isn't the operating system that does that. That's a manufacturer that puts all that stuff on there. Yeah, you're right. I do go in and you eliminate most of that stuff because it's all just junk that just takes up a lot of room, yeah.
Exactly.
Of course, nowadays hard drives are so big and so cheap. I mean, it's just unbelievable how big a hard drive you can get and for very little money. I mean, a couple $100 and you can get a terabyte.
You get two terabyte hard drive for $199 at Office Depot.
Is that right? Wow. That's huge.
Yeah.
I mean,
and a terabyte is a lot of space. And that's the type that you jump off a building if it crashes.
Well, interestingly enough, I put a lot of music and stuff that I set up myself. And I've got 3 terabytes mixed on my computers now so that are used. And I need another one.
Anyways, speaking of computers and stuff, you know, 646-721-9887. You know, it is kind of a free-for-all Monday, and we do have a list of stuff in addition to the heat wave going on. Do you want to get into Eric Holder or the Obama poll and Obamacare?
Whatever you want. We can talk about Mr. Holder if you want to. The fact that Everybody's picking on poor Eric. Is basically what's
poor
going
Eric.
On.
Poor Eric. I knew him well.
Poor Eric. Attorney General, I mean, he's not that poor. I rather imagine he makes fairly good money, or at least, he's still making it. He may not be for long at this particular point because everybody's deciding to pick on him. But the Obama people are very upset because they say that the Republicans are literally picking on him. I mean, the thing is, if he's not going to give the information that the court wants. Pardon?
Yeah, Isaac.
Yeah, if he's not going to give them the information that they want, there's no other place in the. Who else has more authority than they do? I mean, you've got to give it to them. I mean, there's got to be some place where it ends. I mean, you either got to give it to them or they get rid of you. I mean, that's the simple matter of the fact. They have the authority to literally fire you if they want to, if you're not going to live by their rules, so to speak. So, consequently, to say that I'm not going to give you the information,
what I think is going on here, Cliff, is that, I think it kind of blindsided us when Obama came out with executive privilege. It's like, how high does this thing go? I mean, are we looking at another Watergate type of scandal going on, and we just didn't realize it? Is the Attorney General's office, and because he's withholding information, are we actually showing, just like Obama did with the Constitution, that our system only works if people decide to abide by it?
Well, that's it. The thing is, somebody's sitting on their dead ass and not getting things done because they're allowing this to happen, and they are allowing it to happen because Obama has actually overstepped his bounds. He's overstepped and misusing the Constitution itself in order to get what he wants to do, and nobody's stopping him. Nobody's doing anything about it. I'm sure there's got to be someone who has the authority to stop him in there.
Well, that's the thing about the three different branches of government are supposed to be the checks and balances that keep the government in check, because the government is not supposed to be almighty, all-powerful. And, lately, from what we've seen, how many times this year alone have we heard that Obama's doing something that is not constitutional? Okay, that's fine. Why are they letting it happen?
Well, that's the case. See, here's what's wrong. When Obama was put into position, he was everybody was Democratic. The Supreme Court was Democratic. The House of Representatives was Democratic. The President was Democratic. Everybody was, and so he pretty much got his own way because there was not enough people to vote him down. Now there are. He's not getting his way in the House nearly as much as he did before. The other house, he's not going to get it very much longer. Well, if the election is going to make the difference, I mean, you figure right now he can pretty well still get his way. Nobody's stopping him. I don't know how to say.
Romney's not stopping him. In fact, Romney's going, well, he's just, he's really a nice guy, but he's just kind of over his head. What?
Well, Romney can't stop him. Romney is not in any position yet. He can when he gets.
He can be more aggressive. It seems like Romney just kind of went to sleep at the wheel. I mean, he comes out with just these little sound bites, and yeah, that's right. The Supreme Court it voted as a tax, and well, that's just the way it is right now, and we're just going to have to live with it.
I see. I disagree. I think Romney's doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing. He's doing it exactly right. I think he's letting Obama dig himself a hole and put himself in it, because every time Obama turns around, he's taking a little more and a little more and a little more, and he's going to dig himself into a hole that he can't get out of. And Romney is basically sitting back and letting this happen. I do look forward to the time that the two of them can look at each other and ask questions of each other and do one-on-one. I know Mr. Romney, he didn't do too good in that kind of a situation before, but I think he's been actually practicing and working on it and doing. I've heard on a couple of instances that he's been practicing about what he wants to say and how he wants to say it, and how I think that'll make a big difference. But until we get to that point, we've got a while to go. We've got maybe 2 months to go before the debates and things start taking place, and then we can see what's going to happen, because we've got to see what's happening one-on-one. There's only two or three debates, I think, that are going to be on television or something like that. I don't have those in front of me, as a matter of fact. I should have those. But I believe that Romney is sitting back and letting him dig his own grave. And I think he's going to do it. And it's going to happen before long. And he's not got the world's greatest ratings now. He's 56% of the people are for Romney, against Obama. But that's not enough to make it work. I mean, he's got to do better than that. But I think he's going to bury himself.
Well, I hope so, because I've been, for grins and giggles, on the Sirius satellite, I've been listening to the left's point of view, and they are having, now to give credit to Romney and where Obama's going, they are having a little bit of trouble selling Obamacare and stuff, but the people that do call in that are in favor, it's scary because they're looking at it as it's free health care, I didn't have health care, this is going to happen. You know, for me and our pre-existing. Well, here's according to Business Insider, here's what it's going to cost you. The tax penalty will be phased in from 2014 to 2016. The minimum tax penalty in 2016 will be $695 per person and up to three times that per family. After 2016, these amounts will increase at the rate of inflation. That was the other question I was wondering, is how much are these penalties going to increase over time? So to kind of give you an idea, no family, as it says, will ever pay more than three times the per-person penalty, regardless of how many people are in the family. So the $695 per person penalty is only for those who make between $9,500 and less than $37,000. And if you make less than $9,500, you're exempt. Well, how many people does that do? The penalty is 2.5% of any household income. So, for example, because I would fall in a little bit above the $37,000, my penalty would be $2,885 per year if I don't have qualifying health insurance. That basically takes away my whole refund, which I use to pay for my property taxes.
Well, they've got it. I can see doing that, because if they don't make it a big number, then you're gonna sit back and let them give it to you and pay the penalty. If they make the penalty bigger than actually buying the insurance, then you're gonna buy the insurance, and that's what they want you to do. But the whole idea, I think, is going to be a moot point, because I at this point, I think Romney is going to get into the position, and Romney is going to make his first priority to get rid of that bill entirely, even though it's passed all this and that and the other. Everybody keeps saying that this is based on the Romney bill. There's so many different things. The Romney put this whole thing together in Massachusetts. The difference being, there was only 6% of the people in Massachusetts that this even affected at all. And the second part is, Romney had the advantage, because the federal government actually gave him the money to do this. Well, when the federal government is doing it, who's going to give him the money? There's nobody left. And so they've got to make the money, pass it along as taxes. So the difference between the Romney bill and putting it together in Massachusetts, which, by the way, he's also agreed that he made a mistake and there were some things that were wrong, and you can always make a mistake and change your opinion of things, and I think he's done that. So basically, but Mr. Obama hasn't done that. He has never admitted to any mistakes in there. He's pushed it and pushed it and pushed it, regardless of all of these huge mistakes that he's made. So the you know, there are people who sit back and say, well, this is all based on Romney in the first place. That's not the case. The things are radically different, and they're affecting even the people that the bill affects. The people of Massachusetts didn't have to pay that kind of money because they had the federal government putting in the money instead of charging you people for it. So,
I hope we don't follow Romney Care to the letter, because in Massachusetts, if you don't have health insurance, you could lose your driver's license as a penalty.
But the thing is, they're just like this, they'll give it to you. They'll do it for you, and you get the insurance. There are things that that Romney has decided. God, got to get these people straight. There are things that Romney has determined were bad, and he would change, but he's no longer in that position. He can't change it. So now he's stuck with that. But, you know, you can't – it's a big bill. It's a big philosophy, and you can't think it up the first time around, and he hasn't had a chance to fix it. And so I don't believe we can – blame Romney on any of it.
Well, I hope he can do something about it, because like I said, the $2,085 per year penalty, which works out to $173 a month, even though I'm making a little bit more than $37,000 a year, not by much, we are barely scraping by, and an extra $173 a month, which of course health insurance for the family would cost a little bit more than that, we don't have it. And in fact, the IRS right now, because the IRS is the one that's going to be enforcing it, they're even wondering how they're going to do this, because you have to show proof that you have qualifying insurance, keyword being qualifying. I don't have the stats before me what it is, but maybe one way that we can get around this is to not fund it, this program. In other words, you know, Congress has been able to take away funding from other things it doesn't like. It's still there. They just don't have the funding to enforce it. So maybe that'd be one out.
Well, that's what they're talking about doing. But I think when Romney makes it into the office, he's going to get rid of it entirely. He said he's going to do it immediately. Well, we has until 2014. Nothing even really takes place, supposedly, until 2014. And that's when the major portion of the bill takes place. So he's got 2 years.
A lot of people have come out and said, "I'm going to do this immediately," or "I'm going to do." Look at the promises that Obama made, and how many he hasn't kept or have done completely opposite. You know, they say what we want to hear to get him in there. Right now, our only choice is to get Romney in there, and you know he's pounding on my first day. I'm going to repeal Obamacare. What if he doesn't?
Well, I don't, to be honest with you, after making it the big push of his entire campaign, I don't think he has the guts not to do it. I really do. If he does, I'd be ready to impeach him immediately. I mean, and I think a lot of people would, because he's made that promise too many times to too many thousands of people, and they're not going to go for it.
It won't happen. And I'll tell you why. It won't, because right now the people that we've got up in the executive branch right now, they only care about one thing, and that's themselves. And that's until we change that. Because if you go back, you know, like to the Nixon era or whatever, and previous administrations, we didn't have any problem putting the president on the coals as far as, you know, the Congress goes. But now it just seems like, you know, everybody's in their own little group, and they're afraid to do anything. Or we got, you know, like I say, Nancy Pelosi, who needs to go, Eric Holder needs to go, Ray LaHood, Transportation Secretary, he needs to go. They're all out there pushing their own little things, and they're all making their big millions of dollars. And
well, and I think that's one of the things that's going to change. I mean, we've got an election coming up, and if we put Romney in there, we're also going to be making a whole lot of changes. Other than that, I mean, I hope that we got at least 50% of different House and the – why can't I think of the other one for some reason or other? But the Congress, they're going to be changed. The Senate, that's it, yes. And they're going to be changed, and that's got to be one of the big things that happens. So it's not just going to be him doing it. He's going to have help doing it with the Congress, all of it. Helping out, and because so many people have got the idea that I think this is going to be one of the biggest turnouts as far as election is concerned, maybe ever for that matter, but at least is one of the biggest ones we've ever had, because so many people are really, really getting upset about it and are wanting to do something about what's happening in government right now. And that's what I think we're going to do before long, is just make a big change in everything. And then they're going to, you know, one of the things is I don't remember what it is. There's a game or something trying to find someone in any kind of public office that tells the truth. I mean, nobody does. And we're just letting it happen. That's our fault. That's not anybody's fault except ours. We are letting it happen. We're letting people lie to us, and then we try to sort it out as we get through later. But that's going to come to an end, because we've been lied too many times, and somebody's got to tell the truth. And that, when that happens, somebody liable to get elected, and then, wow, it's going to change the whole thing. So that's what we need to do, is find.
Well, yeah, because our representatives are acting like children. Like, for example, when the contempt of Congress came down on Eric Holder, a lot of the Democrats and a few Republicans walked out. The DNC there, both sides of the House are saying they're not going to participate. It's like they're acting like little kids.
Well, that's the thing that I'm seeing happen in more cases. And when looking back at when Wisconsin did their thing, and the different people just left the state. They left the state and stayed in a hotel just across the border, so they wouldn't have to make a decision, so they wouldn't have to make any kind of an opinion, and they stayed there for quite some time. Those people, in my opinion, should have been left. I mean, you know, go there and spend 3 weeks, 4 weeks as a vacation if you want to, and then get fired if you don't get back. If you don't get back and go to work, you don't go to your job. Maybe we need to do something about, you have to spend X amount of days per month doing your job, or you get fired. Simply let you go, because we've got major problems in the Senate and in the House. Because people are just there, like you say, to make themselves rich. And that's not what they're for. That's not why they're there. But it is now. It is now that's why they're there. Maybe, again, that's why we've got to put term limits on these people and let them serve one term. No, not two terms, you know, one term. Maybe it can be 6 years or 8 years if you want it instead of four. But one term. And so they don't have to worry about being reelected. They got enough time to do something, maybe 8 years or whatever it takes to accomplish their given thing that they want to do, but they don't have a chance to worry about making money to get back. So, and there's even, I can think of, as I'm saying this, different ways of getting around that too. So it's hard to say, huh? There's always a way around it.
Well, and I'm trying to find the numbers here, because I heard this on the radio the other day, is that there's a large number of people who didn't even know that there was a Supreme Court decision on Obamacare. And so, you know, a lot of people, people are struggling with their lives. They don't have time to listen to the news or to stay on top of everything. But I think what we should start doing, maybe even start a website or something, or push the talk shows, we should take a list. We should start a list of all those people that are saying, like Nancy Pelosi, you know, you have to pass the bill to know what's in it, are more so the people that did not read the bill and voted anyways. In other words, the people that are not acting as our representatives, we should remind people that these people are not doing their jobs, and it's because of these people is why we're now having to fight Obamacare. When you get right down to it, because these people not doing their jobs. And Nancy Pelosi's attitude, like I said, you know, you got to pass the bill, know what's in it. Look where we're at now. And when you get right down to it, it's solely because of them.
I think that the general public, the Senate, the Supreme Court, and the House of Representatives have set back so long, and they've let nobody do anything. I mean, they've expected people to just sit around and do nothing. People don't want to be bothered with how the government works, although they have to, because it's going to change this year. People are becoming aware of the fact that the government is working against them, basically. I don't really want to use that word, but basically the government is working against them. It's not working for them, and it's not supposed to be that way. They don't like it that way. And so enough people are waking up to that fact. Granted, you're right. There's an awful lot of people who are sitting back and not bothering with it. They're watching their favorite show on television and so on and so forth instead of worrying about it. But when things start going wrong, and things are going wrong, and what's going to be the difference is things are going wrong financially.
Right.
They're going to be in trouble when it affects their money, when it affects our pocketbook, when it affects how much they have to spend or how much they have to buy that new boat and to spend how much time in that boat, because they're not going to have that money anymore. And it's going to make a huge difference, because right now, believe it or not, the average, I don't have the facts in front of me, but the average American is making less money than they have ever before. And consequently, and it's going to go down. It's not going to go up. It's going down because this is not just something that's happening in the United States. This is happening all over the world. This is what's happening. I mean, China has had a problem in the last year or two with the same thing. Japan has had a problem. Well, of course, Japan has other problems too. But Russia's got the same problems. I mean, this is something that's happening around the world. The different governments have promised more than they can give. I mean, look at Greece. They wanted to give you 150% of your daily wage for retirement. You can't do that. You got to have people making more money than they're getting for retirement. I mean, if somebody's going to pay for that. And right now, believe it or not, they're expecting Germany, effectively, to bail them out. And people are not, even Germany, they can't do this forever, because it's not just Greece that's doing it. Spain and Italy and France are all doing it, and four or five small countries are doing it, and it just can't continue that way. Now, all of a sudden, the United States is expecting money to just appear out of nowhere, and we've been doing that. We've been just manufacturing money and spreading it out, but you can't do that forever either, because sooner or later it catches up with you. So we've got to be fiscally prudent soon, and that's what's going to happen.
What do you think is going to happen? Like I say, let's fast forward a couple years from now, and assuming that the recession, which again, remember they claimed the recession was over last year or year before last, and a lot of people are working a couple part-time jobs, a lot of people are getting laid off. So you could go ahead and let's say this scenario, you're working your job and you're making, say, $20 an hour, so you're going to be making, say, more than $40,000 a year. And then halfway through the year, or three quarters through the year, you get laid off. Now you're living on unemployment, which I forget what the maximum amount is, but it's definitely not the equivalent of what you were making. And you're barely struggling before, $20 an hour. Now you're doing what you can just to pay the bills. Now at the end of the year, you get hit with this huge tax penalty for not having insurance, because you had to cancel your insurance. Either you're paying it on your own or from your company, but now you don't meet the requirements. So now you got this big penalty, and so fast forwarding a couple of years after that, now there's a whole bunch of families that are being audited and by the IRS because they used to make enough money. Now they can't make enough money to pay the mandate. People are losing their houses, their homes, and it's going to create a riot.
Well, that's what's going to happen. It is going to create a riot, and you better hope to God that it doesn't happen that way. Basically, it probably will, but we're going to have people riding in the streets just like they have people riding in the streets in Greece, just like they have the people riding in the streets in Egypt. I mean, people are going to start doing that, and that's what's going to happen. And it's going to happen, and it is happening in other countries as well. But then it's sort of a moot point if you're rioting in the streets because if it's not there, it's not there, and the government can't make it happen. I mean, there is a point where you as a human being, you as a person, have to make it happen. We have to all accept, and I know nobody likes this, we're going to have to all accept a pay cut, less money to live on, and change, radically change our lifestyle, for that matter, not just in what we make, but how we live. And it's going to happen, and it's going to happen here, and that's the thing that's going to make a big difference. And that's what's going to make a difference.
Well, I'm going to argue that with you a little bit. Okay, like the household, you know, for example, we're cutting back as much as we can. Our utilities are an average of $200 per month, and we've got everything shut off that we can shut off. When you break it down, our electricity is around $75 a month. Our water is $8 a month. The rest of the stuff is for water runoff fees, sewage fees, some other fee or whatever, and that's just on the water side. And on the electric side, we got a whole, I don't know, I don't have the list in front of me. I can get it, but basically half of the bill is for fees and taxes. So even if we go cut the main breaker off, we're still going to owe about $150, $200 a month.
Well, okay, who's paying for these roads? Who's paying for these fees? Who's paying? Somebody's got to pay for this. And it's going to have to be you somewhere or another. Well, I don't know how you're going to do it, but other than what you're doing. But somewhere we've either got to pay for those fees, or we've got to curtail the things that we're supplying the public, because, you know, either that or the railroads are not going to get fixed, the sewers are not going to get put together. I mean, we've done that. We've seen that here in the city that I live in, for example. Let's just take the sewers, the pipes and things that are underground. We take those for granted once they're down there, and we don't do anything about them. There is a point where even those have to be fixed because they fall apart. They were made pipes out of cement before and used those, but those break down and those stop working. And somebody has to, in this particular case, I know in this town they actually were digging up and fixing the roads, but when they went down to do the roads, they went down and checked the pipes, and the pipes weren't working. What was going to happen before long is the sewers weren't going to work. They just simply weren't going to work. Then what do you do? Who pays for that? And so it's going to make a major change. Either somebody's got to pay for these things, or we're going to be living a lot different and than we have been.
That's why I was saying about the right pocket, left pocket, all the same pair of pants. It says, looking at, we got budget for this, budget for that. Figure out what's important first, do the foo-foo stuff later. And I just pulled up a sample copy that the utility has of the bill, and I'll give you a quick example of what I was talking about. According to the sample copy, the total of the bill is $224. The breakdown of it, the electricity only is $107 of that, and the water is basically $7.80. Then on top of that, they charge so much per unit, which wound up to be $60 according to this example. Then on top of that, you got a basic charge, which they threw in $10, sewer units, $20, storm drain fee of $10, and then the electricity has a basic charge at $9, and when you add all that up, it comes up to $224.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Someone has to pay those fees. Somewhere those fees have to be paid. They're not just stuck on there. Nobody's making a profit on those on most cities. I know there are a couple of cities that they have made a profit on it, but most cities are not, and they're just making do with making pay what they're supposed to be paid for. And so somebody's got to – that's the storm drains.
I'm not disagreeing with you about something being paid. The point I'm making is, it's like take for example, an average apartment. You're looking anywhere from $600 to $900 for an apartment. Add the $200 for utilities, and maybe you might want to throw in, food or something like that. You know, which can add up. And when you're looking at that, you've already exceeded what you're making on a minimum wage job easily. And then now you're throwing in $173 a month just for the Obamacare tax. You know, what are you going to do when there's just no more money available and the fees
that's
are stacking up?
That's what's going to happen. Things have got to change. The way we live our lives has got to change. The things that we assume are freebies or the things that we assume are due to us is going to have to change. Very simple. We're going to have to give in somewhat on what we expect from our government and not expect too much. It's true, if we were to allow the government to give us less, the government could give the money back to the states and we could do a lot more. The point is, there's just not enough to go around. We're expecting more than we can expect, and we can't live that way.
And that's what makes me frustrated about this Obamacare, is that they're talking about, well, people don't have health insurance, so we're going to pass a law mandating that people get it. Well, guys, I know you – okay, like an example that somebody gave one time, like the president, for example. He's sitting in his Oval Office. He looks out the window and he sees lush lawns and everything's all rosy. But on the other side of the fence, you know, people are sleeping on the benches. I don't know what these guys are thinking. Is that we just got all this money we're just sitting on, not spending it? You know, to go ahead and say, well, you know, we're going to mandate that you're going to be spending more money because we think you should have health and care insurance, and you're just being irresponsible. And if you don't go buy health insurance, we're going to guilt trip you by calling you a free rider. It's like, I'm sorry, we're broke.
Yeah. Well, that's where things have got to change. We've got to do things differently. This bill can't possibly work. It can't possibly go. And different countries are doing things differently, but none of the countries are getting the freebies that they had before. And this is a freebie that we've expected for years, and we're going to have to pay the piper now. It's just simple that we don't have any choice, and that's going to happen. Going to have to happen. Now, if we could turn the thing around, and somewhere it will be turned around. I don't know. I think it's like going to get a lot worse before it gets better, and that's unfortunate. But the fact is, the point is, sooner or later, people are going to start getting back to work. They're going to start doing things, and it's all going to go around the second tier. We're slipping into a second recession, a double dip recession, if you will, whatever you want to call it, is what's going to happen. But that's the thing that's scary. It's not the fact that we're getting into this. It's the fact that the entire world is getting into it. That's the big thing that's scary. Is it's not just us, and we have nobody to turn to, because there's no country that's free of that now. There's no country that it's not affecting. I mean, everybody it's affecting. So it's
I want to touch on the points you just made, too. By the way, 36 minutes remaining in the program, 646-721-9887. Give us a call on this or anything else that you'd like to talk about. Is that what I'm hearing, especially about the Obamacare, is that, like, for example, one guy I'm talking to that's on my route, you know, he has a family of, he has got four kids, basically, and he's a single parent, and he's thinking that this is going to cut down his how much it costs him per month for health care. Well, here's the thing. Over 30% of the businesses polled said that they're going to stop offering health care. And by law, you have to have it. So if your company you're working for doesn't offer it, now you got to go figure out to a private company, and you got to go get it.
Do you blame them for stopping? Do you blame them for having that's such a huge cost that they can't afford to offer it for free like they used to do before? There was a time, I remember when I first started work, my insurance was entirely paid for by the company. But it can't be now because it's just way too expensive. Of course, let's think about why is it that expensive? Is it because the hospitals are charging way too much? Is it because they're charging way too much for the medicines? But, yeah, I, you know, It's not because the hospitals are charging too much. It's because the medicines are charging too much, because we're the hospitals and everybody, there's a medicine for everything. Everything has a medicine. Do you realize that there are people taking 20 pills a day for different things, and some of them, that's given to them for free. And we can't supply everything for everybody, but we're going to have to. I mean, you're going to have to, because somewhere or another, things have got to change and have got to come down to a position where we can afford to live. And at this particular point, we can't. And it's going to make a huge difference. Everybody has got to make an effort, let's say, in trying to change all of this.
But when the government throws this huge tax on us, and it, you know, and it varies, it's not a set tax. It can vary and go up and go down, but chances are it's going to go up with inflation. How, you know, we're struggling as it is to get ahead. Businesses are uncertain of how things are going to be. It's already expensive enough. Cost of everything is rising, and you know, we can only cut back so far where there's nothing left to cut back, and pretty soon people are living in tents.
Well, that's going to be what happens. Everybody's going to have to be living in a tent in order to realize how much money they don't have, and to realize what kind of benefits that they used to have. And so they're going to have to work a way around it again and start over from scratch. We're going to have to. It's a tremendous disadvantage that people are going to have, and I don't know how far down the road this is going to be, but it's going to happen. The whole thing is going to collapse around us. I mean, it's in the process of that right now. If we're in a double dip recession, do you realize how much money people lost in that first one? When people who had their 401ks and all that kind of stuff tied up into the stock market. Do you realize how much money, how much people lost in that? I mean, it was almost 50%. If you had, you know, whatever you had on your retirement care, it was cut in half, which it really hurts. Believe me. Now, that's the thing. It's going to do it again. It's not going to wait. It's going to do it again. And when it does that again, then we're down to a quarter of what we had before. And so we've got to stop expecting what we have to, what we want, and maybe we better put it all in a under our. Well, the thing is, if you stick it under your mattress and hide it, then they're gonna the money is gonna be devalued, and it's gonna happen that way anyway. So there's nothing you can do around it, nothing you can do about it. Just live with it, and it's all gonna happen. Just I think basically think about it. There's no way to fix it.
Well, the only way to fix it, unfortunately, the way our system is set up, is in November as a starter. And secondly, we need to hold our representatives, their feet to the fire, and we need to look at it and just say, look, our Constitution has been challenged more these last 4 years than what I can remember, and doing things that affect our everyday lives. And we need to, you know, we send these people up there to represent us in our best interest. And so far, it seems to me like it's been the opposite, that, you know, we've turned our government into a monarchy, and with the Supreme Court, especially rewriting the law that was supposed to be, the Obamacare was supposed to be a penalty, not a tax, is the system is showing that it's broken. And it's going to get worse. Now, my prediction is, as we get closer to November, Obama knows that he's in trouble, and that's why he's willing to extend the Bush tax cut that came out today. And so, but here's my prediction, is that he's going to do whatever he can in the next couple months, because he knows that there's nothing we can do about it. Plus, if there's too much stuff thrown out at one time, we can't handle, as a society, we can't do more, focus on more than one thing at once. And
to when we first started with, that's why Romney is sitting back and letting him dig himself into a hole. He's going to, every time something happens and everything things starts to sort of like fall apart, Mr. Obama is going to come out and promise you this and promise you that. And everybody knows, and everybody is very aware that nothing that he promises is going to happen. Nothing is going to take place. Nothing has ever taken place of any of the things that he's promised, really. And so consequently, that's why it's going to, Romney has a little pad here before he starts to, then he can, when he can confront Obama entirely in a debate or something and say, well, how are you going to do this? How are you going to do that? The simple fact is, I don't believe for a minute that Mr. Obama is going to be reelected. We are going to get new people in there, but that's not it, not all of it. We are also going to get new House members, new Senate members, and it's going to make a huge difference. Now, whether it can be done and be done fast enough and with the people maybe have the right attitude to change things that we can accomplish something, I don't know. If not, then we are still back to the position of it's inevitable that it's going to get worse. And when it gets worse, then it's not going to be the person in there that does it. It's going to be the system that does it. And it's going to happen to all of us. And it's going to happen to all of us anyway, I don't think. I think because the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. And that can't continue on forever. Well,
now, what is encouraging, though, is that especially after the Supreme Court announcement on Obamacare, how much money poured into the Mitt Romney campaign. And so they're going to try and do everything they can now to discredit him. Like right now, the top headline is Romney under pressure to release more tax documents. You know what? I don't care. He's a millionaire. You know, I'm more concerned. I'm not concerned about the fact that he had a dog on his roof versus Obama having a dog in his stomach. Like I say, which dog would you rather be? I'm more concerned about, you know, getting the country back on track, and because if we don't, then we're in for a train wreck for sure, in my opinion.
Well, that's the thing. We are in for a train wreck if we stay where we are. So consequently, I don't even think for a minute that it's going to stay the same. But now, whether the Romney team can pull a thing out or not, I don't know. I think the one difference I see with Romney as opposed to Obama is I believe that he isn't afraid to go out and ask people who have more on the ball than he does to help. And Mr. Obama, I don't think knows how to ask people to help. He has an opinion. I have nothing to back this up except the way he acts about things, but he doesn't. He just makes up his mind and then announces it. And we've got to have some people in there who have some ideas. And so it'll be interesting to see. We're very close to the election time right now. Again, you've got to sit back and look and take a look at the different people that you want in there. If you know anybody in politics that you think is not lying to you, or the one who's lying to you the least, go on and elect them. You know, elect them, vote for them, because that's the important thing. And I don't know if there is anybody who isn't lying to you.
Well, I'm sure they are, but you know, they go in there with good intentions. But as far as Obama is a lot smarter than what a lot of people are giving him credit for. But the thing is that he has his own agenda. And I'm not exactly sure what his agenda is, but I'm getting the impression that it's, besides being self-serving, it's definitely not in the good of the country. Or maybe in a way it is. It's a country that he envisions, which is not the country that we currently have.
Well, it is a country that we currently have, and he's making it closer and closer and closer to that country. But I disagree with you that he's smarter than anybody thinks he is. I don't think he is. If he was smart, if he was really smart, he wouldn't be headed this direction, because this direction is, you know, this direction is allowing the government to supply everything for everyone, and that can't happen. It just can't work that way. No government is doing that anywhere in the world, and so it can't happen. Now, even a Chinese with as many people as they've got, they're not doing this. They're losing. They're trying very hard to get somewhere. We just can't continue on this same path and this same road and get anywhere, because It's going to change, and it's just going to change whether we like it or not. And that's just all there is to it. All we have to look forward to is a huge change. Now, whether it's in 2 years, whether it's 1 year from now, or whether it's in 4 years from now when it does it, who knows? But it's going to happen. So we need to put our own house in order, I guess is the
thing
I want to say.
Well, I think you get people to be dependent on you, like you had the food stamp parties or whatever, and you know, you get people depending on free stuff from the government, and that winds up what it does is it gives government more control, because all they got to do is say that we're going to take away the free stuff, and I know what I want to say, I'm just not saying it right. Like, for example, the Social Security disability, I don't have the percentages before me, but they're up highly in bigger numbers in the last couple of years. And, of course, once you're on that, you know, you're on that for the rest of your life. But still, the whole point is that you get people dependent on the government, and that gives the government more control over you, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
That's what Obama is pushing, I think. He's trying to get everybody dependent on the government. He's trying to make the government control what you're going to do from now on. In other words, he wants certain things to be done, and then by doing this, he can control what can be done. It's one of those things that you can't do all things for all people. The government can't do everything for everybody. It's going to go down to the point where we have to individually do it for ourselves. And until we do that, things are going to continue to go downhill. So basically, it is very important and imperative that we change horses. Because this horse isn't working. This horse is floundering in the stream is what's happening. And I don't think it's because he's so smart. I think it's because he doesn't have the intelligence to do it right. And he just doesn't have the ideas and doesn't have the thoughts. And so we've got to get somebody in there with different thoughts and different ideas. And if he works, that's fine. Because there's so many, we're going to have so much change in the government. So much change in the Supreme Court, so much change in the House, that I think it's going to make a huge difference as to how things are being done. The idea of just sitting on things and not allowing anything to go through. Things go to the Senate nowadays, and they just stop there. They don't go anywhere because the Senate can sit on them and not vote on them. And consequently, things just sit there. Even if you have a good idea, even if you have a great idea, they just sit there because people are voting for they're voting Republican or they're voting for Democrat. They aren't voting their conscience or voting logic. They're just voting I'm a Democrat, so I'm not going to let this happen because it was thought of by a Republican. So consequently, we've got to get that stopped and have some changes. We haven't had any across the board cooperation from people in a long time, and so things that's why we've got to change whole bunches of all those people in this next election, is so we can have some cooperation perhaps among different sides of the hill.
Maybe we'll have to help get Romney elected. By the way, according to Investors Business Daily, 5.4 million. Joined disability roles under the Obama administration.
Well, see, that's sort of thing. I'm going to get in trouble now because Social Security was the start of all of this, because they started the Social Security. They made the rule as to how Social Security was to work, but they kept elaborating. They kept adding to it. Social Security is paying for the kid the poor little guy who his mommy died or his daddy died or both died or something like that. They go on Social Security. Everything is paying for by Social Security. If Social Security was only paying for actually what it was meant for originally, that would be fine. But
yeah,
we keep
the Townsend Act.
What?
It was originally there was the Townsend Act, which was supposed to be the poor man's retirement.
Yeah. And it doesn't make any difference, poor man or otherwise. It's a retirement fund. But we've been using it for everything else under the sun. And it depleted it, of course. And consequently, we're in trouble. And now the thing is, I don't know how you can decide when the thing is going to turn around, when people are going to start getting back to work, when and what's going to be the impetus for that. I don't see it yet happening. Now, it's possible that Romney could do something about that. I mean, maybe he really can, because he has done a lot for, you know, he can think. We know he can think. He's done it. He's built billions of dollars and worked on it and done it himself. And like I say, he's the first to admit that he doesn't do it all. He has
but he's
business
a self-made millionaire.
Self-made millionaire. Well,
yeah.
He's sort of a self-made millionaire. He's a self-made millionaire as a self-made goes, but he has helped doing it. And that's my point. He'll ask for help. He'll work to get help and the right help when he gets into office.
So did Bill Gates. And there wouldn't, you know, Bill Gates is the first to admit that there wouldn't be a Microsoft if it wasn't for his other two partners. And that's smart because everybody has their own strengths. And when you come together as a team, you can be a pretty strong team. And that's also a sign of a good leader, too, is to know that you can't do it all. And also to take advice. I mean, like I'll use an example. This is a government agency, the transportation agency, setting up new rules and regulations for the trucking industry. They've had independent polls going in with facts and figures, and they totally dismiss it because it's not what they want to hear.
But that's the thing about Obama. What have you heard? What news information have you got? What any kind of little sneaky things have you heard about him asking for help? About him asking how to do something, he doesn't do it.
You know,
he just does.
No, it's always the Republicans' fault, or it's always Bush's fault. You know, he always gets up there and, well, the Republicans are fighting us on this, and they're fighting us on that, and because of this, because of that, it's like, you know, you get tired of the blame-o-matic. You know, like you say, is that okay? Fine. This is like 3 years ago, 4 years ago. What do you have a suggestion to help us? And by throwing money at it, like I'm going to go back to the original stimulus package. Good idea. Really a good idea up front. You know, put some money in, help stimulate the economy. The problem is where the money went to. Like it also went, one of the biggest failings, and I'll refer to Oregon here, is that it went to help pay for the infrastructure. Like I know this is a hot topic, like paying to keep more teachers on, for example. All that was a temporary Band-Aid. It didn't create jobs, which is what his intent was. So he threw the money out there, claimed that it was going to be checks and balances in place, and the checks and balances either weren't there or they failed.
Yeah, see, I don't consider education as the infrastructure myself. My infrastructure is building roads and fixing the drains, to storm drains and things like that. That's the infrastructure. And that's what we need to have money spent on. That's what we need to spend the money on. And that's the only way. But as far as the education is concerned, we're spending way too much money on that and getting way little for our money. Our educational system is like number 35 out of 100 or out of 50. I mean, we're really below down on the totem pole right now as far as our educational system is concerned. And it's sad because we were up on top at one time. But it's not how much money we're spending that's doing it. It's not spending it right. We're not doing it right. And because there are other countries that are spending lots less money and getting more for their educational system out of it. So we've got to, there's some things that we've got to do that have changed. That we've got to realize that money is not the answer. What we use right. The money for, how we do something with the money can be different, and we can use that as the answer. But we've got to discuss, sit down and make some major decisions. And we don't have the man in the office. Obama is not the man who can make decisions like that, who can reason things out. He just can't do it. Now, I think Romney is a lot closer to it than anybody else at this particular point. Of course, I believed in somebody else, but they're gone. And so we're going to live with who we've got on the ticket. Romney can do it. I think he can do it. Because he'll ask for help, and I don't think anybody's asking for help right now, and that's the big difference.
I want to ask for help real quick here. I'd like to ask some of the people in the chat room that are popping in and out to give us a call at 646-721-9887. We still have 15 minutes remaining in the program, and we can talk about what we're talking about, or if you have a topic you'd like to throw out there, we'd love to hear it. 646-721-9887.
Do it quick, though, because we're running out of time. We don't have much time. If you want to change the subject, you can, or if you want to make some astute remark on the subject that we're working on, you're going to have to have time to say it before we have to go away. So I'd be happy to hear from you, but you've waited almost too long.
Now there's still time, though. Give us a call, 646-721-9887. One other comment I wanted to make real quick here about when we were talking about stimulus and the other things, that you're right. You can't keep throwing money out. In fact, you're throwing, what's worse is that you're throwing out borrowed money. Now, what are we going to do if China decides that it wants to collect, or if we default on that loan? Why don't we follow the basic rule of economy, is that you lower the overhead, you lower taxes. Yeah, it's going to hurt the government temporarily, but it puts the money back into circulation, and then, you know, soon things will start healing up, and then you'll be getting more money in than what you had to begin with.
The problem we have with that, I don't believe that China is going to call in their loan, or we even worry about China calling in their loan. What we've got to worry about is him spending $4 billion or $1 trillion, $4 trillion that we don't have, that we never had. He spent money that is not there, and you can't do that. They are doing it. He is doing it, but we've got to figure out a way to stop that, because it's going to eat us alive. I mean, it's going to be the point that we just can't continue on doing that. You money has to be backed up by something, and we don't have anything backing up our money except the fact that we are the United States. And that one time was a good reason to back up the money. But it's very fast becoming a poor reason. And so, again, we're going to have to start backing it up with gold or with silver or something. And we don't have enough gold anywhere to back up the money that we're spending. So we've got to stop spending it and do it a bit different. I mean, there's a lot of things we can stop spending. They're all going to hurt. Because if our government, be it national or state government, if they stop spending that money, right now it's the state government that's being yelled at for not spending the money, because we're losing our sheriffs, we're losing our jailers, we're losing, you know, people, that their infrastructure that's keeping our state going, because they don't have the money. But pretty soon it's going to be the federal government that doesn't have the money, and when that happens, we're going to be in trouble. We're going to be sitting there all with nothing, and it's all going to be up to us. So the things that have got to change is our opinion of how we do business, our opinion of how we do things. In other words, we seem to feel that if someone steals a car, that's okay, because, you know, they'll get him and put him in jail. No, they won't. It's to the point right now. They're going to let him go, and he's going to be back there to steal more. So we're going to have to think about how to do things and how to do things differently. Our whole system is going to have to be different, and it's going to be different. It's going to make it a huge change. It's going to start with whether or not we elect Obama, but it's not going to stop there. Fortunately, it can. If we elect someone other than Obama, it can take less time, but it's not going to stop there.
Exactly. In fact, I was just reading an article here when you were talking, is that Obama's talking about the extending the Bush tax cuts for another year. He's talking about that the letting taxes go up wouldn't help the economy. Well, we just had the biggest tax increase in history. So I guess, in a way, in his own words, you know.
Well, you realize, of course, You can increase taxes until hell freezes over. It can't make the difference. It has to be how much money we're spending. It has to be how it's being spent. You can't tax your way out of this thing. I mean, unless you're take everything that everybody makes, but that isn't going to do anything either because nobody's going to be able to live. I mean, you can't tax your way out of it. It's not possible to do. So consequently, you've got to change what you're doing, change what you're supplying, change what you're offering, change what you're doing your basic services for, and lower your expectations of that, because you could tax things for, for example, right now he's talking about taxing the rich. That's not going to do it. That's not going to even come close to doing it. You could take all the money that Rockefeller ever made, or all the money that any of these, Microsoft ever made, and that's not going to do the problem. That's not going to solve the problem. It's still going to be there. Because we're talking huge numbers, incomprehensible numbers in doing this. So basically, we've got to start the thing by changing Obama, changing the president, changing the Supreme Court, or not Supreme Court, changing all the Congress. That's what we've got to do, is change a bunch of people so that they can have some different ideas, so they can at least work together and come up with some ideas, and then we can slowly start to work it back into the direction it's supposed to go. But I don't know about what we may be over the edge at this particular point, is I guess the way I'll put it. It's just maybe it's beyond fix, repair, and it's just going to have to topple entirely and then restart. I don't know.
Well, and what you're talking about there, people with their hands out. This came out 4 days ago. United Nations is calling for a tax on billionaires to help raise more than $400 billion a year for poor countries. It's another handout.
It is. Well, we just heard that our government, for example, is giving away money hand over fist. We are trying to be friendly with Afghanistan. Do you realize we're going to be giving Afghanistan $16 billion a year? $16 billion a year starting this year.
What?
We don't have any money.
How can we give the money away we don't have?
We're doing it.
That's one thing that really ticks me off, in 7 minutes remaining in the program. Is we're giving away all this money. We don't have money for ourselves. We're hurting as a nation. And in fact, something I wanted to kind of touch on real quick, getting back to the freebie stuff. This was on Sean Hannity the other day. A woman called in and was talking about how she's in favor about Obamacare. And Sean Hannity was giving her, he's being a smartass is what he was doing, but she wasn't aware that that's what was going on. But he asked her questions as, do you think that the government should provide health care for everybody at no cost? And she goes, well, yeah. She says, well, what about, people need to go to work and stuff too, and not everybody can afford a car. Should the government provide you with a car? She goes, well, yeah, sure. And what about food? Should we give you free food? Oh, absolutely.
See, there are some people that think that way. There are a lot of people who think that way, and I think Obama is one of them.
Well, I have to agree with you. I mean, look at, I know you don't like me talking about the vacations that the two of them take, but, that's on our dime.
It's the only reason I don't like it, that I think it's an absurd thing to talk about, is because it's so minuscule. I agree that it's on our dime, and I agree. And Obama is not the only one who's doing that, by the way. It's because there's so many, many people. We've got 435, 36 of them that may be doing that at a particular point. I'm not saying you all are, but a lot of them people are. They're taking advantage of what they've got. And that's an overall thing that we've got to change in America's way of thinking, is take advantage of everything you can get. Just if you can get it, try it. If you can go after it, get it. No matter what it is, just take advantage of it. We've got to start thinking differently, because at this point, we're taking advantage of each other, and that's not the way it works. That's not the way
Look at it this way. My food budget is $10 a day, actually a little bit less, but that's $3,600 a year. Now, $10 a day doesn't sound like much. It's minuscule. What's 10 bucks?
Wait a minute. $3,600. $10 a day is $5,200 a year, isn't it?
Well, I could be wrong. Well, $10 a day would be in 10 days. Okay, maybe, let me double check my math here since you're asking me.
Oh, you're right. You're right. You're right. I was thinking of weeks, 52
yeah.
weeks.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Yeah, so still, my point is, $10 is a big deal. Whoopie ding. You know, you can go pay that much in lottery tickets. You know, but when you take that and you times that by how many days you spend it, it can turn out to be a huge amount. And so you take all these trips, all these vacations, other stuff that we're paying. So for Obama's luxury, you know, stuff that's really, especially in a recession, that he could actually live without or pay for it under his own check. You know, my point is that he's living the life of a king.
Exactly. And I don't mind that. That's the idea. There's got to be a benefit of being president. You're the king. You are the king. But you're not supposed to take advantage of everything you can get. You're not supposed to take advantage of your subjects, your people. You're supposed to leave a little bit for them. And this man is taking advantage of everything he can get his mitts on. Anything he can get his hands on, he's expecting to take it. Now, I granted, Obama is one of the poorest in actual money presidents we've had in a long time. He doesn't own a lot of things. He hasn't made $1 million or anything like that. But he's going to, because of the fact that he's been president. And there's nothing you can do about that. Consequently, but he is, what he's doing is he's handing out money. He's giving away money. I mean, huge amounts of money. I mean, by $16 billion a year, we have just increased our foreign aid. Now, that makes it, you know, it's around what? I don't exactly remember the numbers. But the thing is, it's so huge that we can't even imagine it. I mean, can you imagine?
Well, let me throw this oxymoron out to you. If we're supposed to be the richest country in the nation, why are we borrowing from other countries?
Well, we don't have enough time. I mean, I understand why we're borrowing from other countries, and it's absurd because we're giving it back to different countries. So that doesn't make any difference. I mean, we haven't borrowed enough money to make it worthwhile to worry about, to be honest with you. We're giving away far more every day than we borrowed.
Yeah. But yet, North Dakota has proven that they can actually still prosper. They have jobs open they can't fill, and the average income up there is around $60,000 to $80,000 a year. Proving that, if left alone, you know, we can bring ourselves back.
Well, that, of course we can. That has nothing to do. That's a totally different story. That's apples and oranges. But the simple fact is we can't be giving away all of our money. We in more than one way. I mean, our defense budget is completely out of control. All of our budgets are completely out of control, and they could be brought in with no trouble at all. And it's just a matter of how somebody wants to do things. It's going to happen that the bottom is going to fall out of everything, and people who are sitting there saying, well, we need to give money to this or we need to give money to that. There are always people who say we should give it, but those people are going to go away very soon because there's not going to be anything to give away. We're way overspent.
Yep, and we're out of time. So, again, thanks for everybody who's checked out the program. We'll be back again next Monday, 1 p.m. Pacific time.
If you like today's show, please let us know by visiting us on Facebook and clicking on the Like button. You can also get show updates on Twitter and on our website at www.krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.